The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The title of my message today, it wasn't in the bulletin because I really didn't know what it was at the time when Tammy asked me, but it is about prayer and fasting. But it's about keeping your edge. And fasting will help you keep your edge. So we're going to talk some more about that. However, I want everybody in here to know and get excited about these services that are coming up. Do you know how incredible it is that we have Ron Phillips coming to Bethel Worship Center? A lot of people don't. They don't realize what it means to have someone now I'm not exalting him. He's no better than anybody else. However, God is using him in an incredible way to minister to the body of Christ. And I want to tell you something. We have written letters to certain people to come to Meigs County, to Bethel Worship Center. And you know what they told us? It wasn't big enough. It wasn't big enough for them. But Pastor Ron Phillips is willing to come. It's not about how many people are going to be here. And we want to fill this place up for him. But it's about doing the work of the Lord. It's about serving God. It's about building the kingdom of God. Therefore, he chooses to come because he believes God wants him to be here. And he wouldn't come if he didn't believe that. I believe God wants him to be here. You know what? I also believe God wants you to be here. Every night that you can possibly be here. Because you're going to be incredibly blessed, and you're going to be able to use that blessing to touch other people. So I just want to, let's get excited about this thing. It's happening. There's good things going on. And God is going to use this time to build up Bethel Worship Center and to touch our community. In order for that to happen, people have to come, be a part of it. All right. You know, we haven't mentioned for a while the air conditioning unit. We are trying to raise $5,000or more, if possible, to be able to put in a new air conditioning unit out front. Anybody who wants to donate to that, please feel free to do so. You can do that on your regular offering. Just make a note that's what it's for. We do have a need there, and we're just believing. I know that we've had some very good donations for that, but it's going to take a lot more. So just let everybody know what's going on with that. God is moving on behalf of Bethel Worship Center. We have to believe it.
Yes, he is. That's right.
I want to talk this morning about regaining or keeping your edge, whichever it might be. If you have an edge right now, I want you to keep that edge. If you've lost your edge, I want you to get it back. You see, it's very important that we recognize that as believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to go through times where we get dull. How many have ever experienced a dull time? Okay. Are you in a dull time right now, maybe? You know, I got to say, you know, dullness is just a part of the body of being a Christian. However, we don't have to, we actually don't have to go there, and we don't have to stay there when we're there. But it seems to be a cycle that we go through. And I believe the reason for the cycle is that we're not doing what is necessary to keep our edge. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying this, that if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll use the first four to sharpen my axe. That's an incredible thought. Now, you got to recognize, you got to understand that Abraham Lincoln was a woodsman. He knew what about chopping down trees. He knew about splitting wood. He knew about splitting rails. In fact, they taught, lore is that he would challenge people to splitting wood and cutting fence rails. And he would often win doing that because he knew about it. That was something he did. And he was a man that liked to work with his hands and was able to do that. But he also applied that same principle to his education and to learning. And he, and most of us probably already know this, that he was a self-educated man. His learning came from books that he acquired, and he studied to become an attorney, a lawyer in the United States. So he applied that same principle. And what he was saying to us in that particular saying or quote was that it takes more time to prepare than it does to actually do what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I've learned that principle a long time ago as a pastor, that if I'm going to speak for an hour, I need to at least study for two to prepare myself so that I can speak intelligently about the subject that I'm speaking about. Otherwise, I'll just get up here and I'll tell stories. How many of you have ever been in a church where that's all you hear? It's just stories. Now, I'm not opposed to stories. Stories are good. Stories drive home the point, and I do use stories. So I'm not criticizing that. However, I know people, one pastor in particular told me that he grew up in a church and his father was the pastor. And his father, rather than study the Word of God, would get up on Sunday mornings and tell stories. Didn't have anything to do about with the Word of God. He'd just tell stories. He'd fill up his time. That's because, and this was this man's word, he said, it was because my dad was too lazy and arrogant to do what was necessary. As believers in Jesus Christ, he's called us to do some preparation. And if we're going to keep our cutting edge, like God wants us to, we have to put forth some effort. I know you don't like to hear that. You know, in our culture today, we like to think that our spirituality is all tied to our Sunday morning worship service, where we can come in and sit down in comfortable pews with air conditioning or heat, you know, depending on the season, be comfortable and be entertained by the worship and by the pastor and by anybody else that gets up. And God forbid if they're not entertaining. But the reality is, if we're going to keep our edge, we have to be willing to do certain things to accomplish that. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Says this: if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. It takes a lot more effort to do anything if the axe is dull. If you're not sharp, if you don't have a fine edge, and I'm talking about your spirituality here, if you've not been honed with a sharp edge, it's a lot harder to walk this walk and to do the things that God has called us to do. But when we have a sharp edge, we can do it, and it's almost effortless because it's directed by the power of the Holy Spirit and not our own ability. You see, you must be willing to spend time doing God's will and God's work. You must be willing to spend time, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in His Word. You see, when it comes to the handbook of the supernatural, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's this. This is the handbook of the supernatural. You know, not witchcraft, not all the books that are published on the occult and cults and all these other things that are published, all these supernatural things that are being published today, they do not have an inkling of what it means to really be supernatural. But the handbook of the supernatural can teach you everything you need to know about walking supernaturally. Hallelujah. And I find that to be exciting. That is exciting because, you know, I like supernatural. I like it when people are set free from drugs. I like it when marriages are restored. I like it when there's healing that takes place. Hallelujah. Pastor Otis, what was the situation with your sister? She prayed for a gentleman that was dead. It came back to life. In Columbus?
In Columbus.
That's close enough we ought to be able to get some of that. Amen? Yeah, if you didn't hear that, he prayed, or his sister prayed, and she didn't go lay hands on him. She just prayed. She didn't have the opportunity to do that. She just felt like God was telling her to intercede. She began to intercede and pray, and this guy came back to life. Hallelujah.
Yeah, right.
Now, I want to tell you something.
Hallelujah.
I hear stories like that, and I hear it from evangelists that come in, and I don't know these people. I have no idea who they are and whether they're liars or not, you know? They could be. Yeah, well, Tammy's polite. She says they're embellishing the truth. She's going to be polite. I call them liars. But I know this man. And he knows his sister. This is not make-believe. This is God. This is supernatural power being released in the world today through the body of Christ. It's the kind of thing that we need to have happening on a regular basis. If we're going to see the world take notice that the church is established or has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have supernatural power. There has to be that taking place. We can't have a dull axe. Let me tell you something. My axe gets dull sometimes. It's my fault. Amen. That's right. We got to take credit where credit is due. Take responsibility for it. We do allow our axe to get dull. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 10 again. See if we can glean something from this. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull, the Hebrew word here means to be blunt, become dull. Okay, so it's very clear. Dull is dull. It means exactly what it says. If your axe is dull. Now, anybody who has ever worked with tools that cut, know that you have to keep the edge on it. You have to keep them sharpened. When I was working for the state of Ohio, I'm really going to date myself because it was before we had weed eaters. So we had size. That's right. Big, great big old size that we went along the guardrail and we cut the weeds from underneath of it. And one of the things we had to do was sharpen those things. And you had to take the right amount of time to sharpen them, and you had to have a certain amount of skill to do it properly. Now, I'm going to brag a little bit. Some of the guys would bring theirs to me because I like to sharpen them, and I could do a good job at sharpening them. I was skilled at it. So what we have to understand here is that there's some skill involved. Some responsibility that is involved here when it comes to making sure that our axe is not dull. When a sharp tool is used, it naturally becomes dull. That's just part of using it. When we're, as the body of Christ, when we're going about doing our daily responsibilities, work and family and ministry and everything that we have to do, guess what happens? We can get dull. We will get dull if all we do is apply our effort without preparation. So we have to recognize there is that preparation that is so very important for us to keep a fine, sharp edge. Amen. All right. I don't believe anybody is exempt from being spiritually sharp. If you're called into the pulpit ministry, one of the fivefold ministries, you better be sharp. If you are if you're in the congregation, I don't want to say just, I mean if you're a member of a congregation that's supporting this church or supporting other fivefold ministries, you need to be sharp as well. It's not just about them being sharp, it's about the whole body of Christ being sharp. Becoming dull is a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process. Two things we need to understand about dull acts. A dull act makes for far more work. You have to work a lot harder if you have a dull act. It requires a lot more effort to cut down the same amount of trees. If you're working in ministry, you're taking care of family, you're working a job, you are doing whatever else is going on, taking your children to extracurricular activities, all these things that are going on, you will get dull if you're not careful. And I'm telling you, I see a dull body of Christ collectively, not here at Bethel Worship Center, although we all go through it. I'm talking about the body of Christ is dull. Because we're all about doing and not refreshing, not sharpening, not taking the time to do what it takes to keep an edge. Amen. Number two. Well, first of all, let me say this about having a dull axe. If you become spiritually dull, now here I know you've all experienced this. If you become spiritually dull, life seems so much harder. Amen? Everything is more difficult. Everything you try to do. Family, housework, yard work, job, everything is so much more difficult because you're dull. You have to put forth a whole lot more effort. So it behooves us to stay sharp. Number two, a dull axe can be much more dangerous than a well-sharpened one. Amen. When I'm dull, I'm a lot more dangerous to myself and to other people. You see, when you're cutting, you're trying to cut down a tree and you have a dull axe, that axe could possibly, instead of cutting into the wood and biting into the wood, it could glance off from it and you could cut yourself severely. And not only that, you have to hit that tree so many times, the potential for the axe handle to fly off is much greater. So you have a potential, when you're dull, you have the potential to fly off a handle a whole lot easier. When we're flying off the handle, we need to take a look and say, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm starting to get dull. Because the flesh rises up. And when the flesh rises up, we're not allowing the spirit man to control us. And the spirit is what we're supposed to be walking in. Walk in the spirit. And don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh and the power of the flesh. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. That's important. We recognize that we don't want to get weary in doing good. And he's not talking about just getting tired. He's talking about spiritually weary. You're getting worn down. And the only reason that you get worn down is because you're not keeping the edge. When a pastor and a church attempt to worship God with nothing more than their intellect, and that's happening everywhere. You know, we really try to guard against that here at Bethel Worship Center. We want to hear from God. I don't care what the bulletin says or the agenda that we have for Sunday morning. If God says, I want you to go over here, I really want to go over there.
That's right.
And I don't care if he says, I want you to go over here. Now I want you to go over there. I want you to go back there. I want you to go up here. I don't care. I want to go where God wants us to go. I want to do what God wants us to do. And that's not just in our worship on Sunday morning. That's in everything that we do. I want to hear. I want you to hear. I want you to hear God's direction for you every step of the way. Your steps have been ordered. Doesn't mean you have to follow them. But they've been ordered. You can leave that path that God has given you. We can leave as a church. We can leave the path that God has given us. I don't want to do that. I want us to hold fast to that path and walk in the things of God. When a pastor and a congregation are both without an edge, you get dull preaching and dull hearers, dull ears. No one really cares when that happens because everybody's satisfied with their religion. We don't want to be there. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it says something about that. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. There is no place for people in the body of Christ when they're lukewarm. You either need hot or cold. God can do something with you when you're cold. He can shake you up. And when you're hot, He loves it. He'll turn the heat up. But when you're lukewarm, you're just comfortable and satisfied. That's not what He wants from His people. Let me show you what that looks like from Scripture. Turn with me to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50 says this, My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We have not offended because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. That's what it looks like when a congregation is lukewarm, dull, and a pastor is dull. The pastor leads them in a direction where they all suffer. It's not the direction of the Lord. God's desire is that His people be on fire. There's another situation. There's a situation where the pastor is excited. The pastor is on fire, but the congregation is dull and lukewarm. And I've seen that happen so many times. If you want to read a situation like that, you can look at Haggai chapter 1. Zechariah, the leaders there, Zerubbabel, was on fire for the Lord. He wanted to build the temple, and opposition came against him. And when opposition came, the people left. He was still wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And for 17 years, approximately 17 years, nothing happened. They started rebuilding the temple, and nothing happened after that. Finally, The prophet came along and stirred up the people. The people started getting on fire. The people started getting their edge back. The people started recognizing that God had a plan, and that God wanted to do something. And everybody stood up and said yes and amen. And they went forth and they built the temple. They finished the temple, and they did it in 5 years. Now you got to understand, that was incredible during this time period, and with the tools that they had to work with. It usually took many, many more years to accomplish building a structure like that. But they were doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. God desires. See, that's the difference. The difference is whether God is behind it, whether God is involved with it, whether people recognize, whether people are on fire, whether people have that cutting edge. And I'm telling you, it takes a pastor and a people to do that. I believe that's why God has great things in store for us. For we have a passion. We have a desire. We want to be on that cutting edge. Yes, sir. We want to see what God is doing. That's right, man. We must recognize that things that are impossible with God, with man, are possible with God. And absolutely nothing is impossible with our God. All right, let's look one more thing. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 10:10 again. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. What is wisdom? What is wisdom when it comes to sharpening an axe? Wisdom is the ability to recognize that, hey, you have to stop from time to time, sit down, and sharpen the tool. Take some time to keep the tool sharp. It's talking about maintaining the edge. When it comes to sharpening an axe, and if you talk to old timers, they would tell you that it's a meticulous process. In order to really sharpen an axe properly, you have to do it the right way. And I'm going to tell you something. They would tell you that you can't do it properly with power tools. Now, there might be something said about the power of the Holy Spirit working, and he can work like a power tool because he can get it done just like that. But from a human standpoint and God working through us, they would say you cannot do it with power tools. You have to use a file to get the edge down exactly the way you want it. You have to get those burrs off. A true woodsman understands what it means to spend time sharpening his tool. With that file, you slowly work away the imperfections that you can see. Spiritually speaking, I believe this is studying the Word of God. Because when you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you slowly work away some of those imperfections in your life. And we all have them. And we're all going to have them till our dying day. But hopefully God is working through each and every one of us as we study His Word to get things right. Amen. To move in His direction. To get those imperfections out of our life. Right. It takes away, the Word of God takes away the glaring imperfections in our life. Romans 12:2 tells us this, and but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to be transformed by the Word of God. Second thing you do when it comes to sharpening an axe, you use a whetstone. And the stone, you use it in circular motion, and it takes away all the glossy areas on the axe that you can see that are not exactly as sharp as they should be. You hone it down. That's called honing it. You hone it down. When your Heavenly Father is honing away the dullness, that takes place in your prayer closet. You got to spend time with the Lord. And the only way He can hone you down is for you to have a one-on-one relationship with Him. Listen, we're talking about staying sharp. And we're not going to stay sharp with our Father and have that sharpness and being honed like we're supposed to be unless we have that relationship with Him in the prayer closet. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." In order for this to be true, we have to spend time with our Father. Jesus did it often. He would steal off to the mountains or someplace in solitude and pray and seek the face of the Father. The last important step in maintaining a sharp axe is oil. Put some oil along the edge and use some oil with that honing stone. The oil helps refine the blade, and also wipes away any of the fragments that might be left from sharpening. And believe it or not, if you leave those fragments on there, it will cause the blade to dull quicker. This is very important. Another thing about oil, it allows the woodsman to fill any burrs left that they may not see with the naked eye. Now, spiritually, I believe this is fasting. But it's the only way that we can get the things out of our lives and get on track with God is to bring our flesh under subjection. That's when we can really hear from God and know what He wants from us and what His expectations for our life really are. This causes us to be keenly aware of all the little things in our lives no one else would know about. But we're very aware that they need to be taken care of. It also builds our faith. I'll tell you something, when you fast, you build your faith. You become strong in the Lord. You put your flesh down and you rise, you cause your spirit man to rise up. That's why Jesus taught His disciples that certain demonic forces could not be cast out except by prayer and fasting. Right. We're going to talk more about that. What I want to leave with you today is the truth that if we're going to accomplish God's will, and I'm talking about here at Bethel Worship Center, you and your life individually, if you're going to accomplish God's will and maintain the cutting edge. We can not only study the Word, which we have to concentrate on, pray, get in our prayer closets, but listen, we've got to do some fasting. We've got to understand how important it is to regularly fast before the Lord. And I'm not trying to tell you that you have to fast a certain amount of days a week or a month or even a year. I'm just telling you that God will speak to you when you need to fast. And a good indication is when you start getting dull. Amen? Everybody stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.